says that Jesus' followers remain exiles as they wait for Jesus to return to transform this world into a true home. So the Christian hope is not a hope of escaping this world and going to another home, but it's actually a hope of bringing the true home, heaven, down to earth, transforming this world into a true home. And that's exactly what we see happening in these verses that we're about to look at. We see this transformation of all of creation taking place where, in the language of that video, our world is transformed into a new, into a true home. So that's what we want to explore as we approach these verses. And so let's go there. All right. So I want to have a look at Isaiah 55, and we're going to read through it. And in preparation for this message, I spent some time translating this chapter myself. So I'm going to read through my own translation of this chapter. But it'll be good for you to also be reading along with your own translations that you have there. So this might be a little bit different, but I think it should be it should draw out a few different things. So let me read. I don't know who it's authorized by, but so let's read Isaiah 55. Hey, all who are thirsty, go to the waters, and whoever has no money for themselves, go buy and eat, and go buy without money wine and milk without a price. Why do you weigh out money for what is not bread, and wearily work for what is not fulfilling up? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul throat take pleasure in fatness. Stretch out your ear and come to me. Listen so that your soul may live, and so that I may cut a timeless covenant for you, the established acts of loyal love for David. Behold, I gave him as a witness to people groups, as a leader and commander of people groups. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which does not know you will run to you because of Yahweh your God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has made you beautiful. Seek Yahweh while he can be found. Call him while he is being near. May a wicked person abandon his way, and a man of trouble abandon his intentions. And may he turn to Yahweh so that he may have compassion upon him, for he makes forgiving numerous. For my intentions are not your intentions, and my ways are not your ways, is the declaration of Yahweh. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so too are my ways higher than your ways, and my intentions higher than your intentions. For just as the rain and the snow fall from the heavens and do not return there, but rather they saturate the earth and cause it to give birth and sprout and give seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so too will my word be when it goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me unfulfilled, but rather it has done that which I desired, and it will be successful where I sent it. And here's our verses, verses 12 and 13. For you will go out with joy, and you will be brought in with well-being. The mountains and the hills will burst with rejoicing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap hands. From under the thorn bush, the juniper will go up. From under the briar, the myrtle will go up, and it will be for Yahweh's name, for a timeless sign that will not be cut off. Such a beautiful chapter, and it's such a beautiful chapter of that, as we've been calling it, that journey of transformation. I think just thinking about exile, as we've been talking about, what's amazing to me is that, as I said, this promise was given, these verses were given to Israel as they were in exile. But those verses, what's described here didn't take place when Israel returned from exile. So that means that this promise is a promise that's relevant for us now, because it's a promise that we're still longing for. It's a promise for that greater exile, that return of all creation to be transformed by God. And so this is incredibly relevant for us. This chapter is incredibly relevant for us because it speaks to that greater exile. And these last two verses are like the grand climax, the grand crescendo of this whole chapter. It's like the whole chapter's been building up, building up, building up, and this is where it lands, this incredible announcement. In fact, a lot of scholars would see chapter 40 all the way through to chapter 55 being one section where it ends with this hope. So it's like it's been building up since comfort, comfort my people in chapter 40, building all the way to this point. So these verses, so basically I'm saying my message is the most important one because it's a, no. So these verses have been building up to this point. And, you know, as we start to read these verses, we might be tempted to believe that that this is about us, because there are good, it includes us. There's good news for us, and that's where it begins. You'll go out with joy. This reminds me of the Exodus, from leaving slavery, going out from Egypt and going out from slavery and oppression in Egypt. For us, that's going out from slavery and oppression of sin and death. And so that going out from joy is a release from slavery, and the being brought in with well-being. That word well-being is the word shalom. It's the word that means peace, wholeness, health, welfare, prosperity, well-being. All of these ideas are encapsulated with this one word, shalom. And we're being brought in with shalom. It's a beautiful it's a beautiful couple of lines at the beginning here, but it doesn't end there. This good news for us goes beyond just us. It goes beyond just us to speak to all creation itself. As we look at the next four lines after that, the mountains and the hills will burst with joy, and all the trees of the field will clap hands. This is an incredible picture, but I mean, obviously, this is a metaphor. This is something. It's not like the creation is literally clapping and singing and dancing and having a party, but a metaphor is speaking to something that's real, and it's speaking to something that is taking place. So we need to ask, well, what is it actually communicating? Well, when we sing and dance and clap our hands, that's usually something we do when something good has happened. For us, we're celebrating receiving something good. And so that means that the return from exile, or what we've been calling the journey of transformation, actually has an impact. It means something good for creation itself. That creation itself should get a benefit, there should be good news for the world itself when we go on this journey of transformation. This is what I mean when I say it's not about us, or it's not just about us. It's about so much more than just us. It's about creation itself being transformed and celebrating the fact that God's representatives on earth, that's what it means to be the image of God. God's representatives on earth have returned to him and have been transformed. That means something good for creation itself. Isn't that good news? Yes. It's good news for creation. And the next two lines go on to describe this, because the thorn bush and the briar, these are very similar words to what we see in Genesis 3, with the thorns and thistles that result from humanity's sin. You know, Adam and Eve sin, and God says to Adam that the ground will experience thorns and thistles. You know, what diseases are to the human skin, thorns and thistles are to the land itself. It's signs of death and decay and suffering. And And so there's this hope of renewal, of in the place of. So the way I've translated is from under the thorn bush. It's literally under the thorn bush, the juniper will go up. And the idea is in that position of suffering, the suffering will be thrown out of its place and replaced with life, replaced with life and goodness and wholeness. And so, you know, this reminds me of what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, where he says that all of creation is eagerly waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, because creation is longing to be set free from its slavery to death and decay and suffering. And so, the return from exile is a journey of transformation that has implications for more than just us. It has implications for all of creation. And this is our hope. This is our hope that as we are transformed, as we are revealed as the children of God, that that there is a renewal. There is a new heavens and a new earth, a renewed heavens and a renewed earth that takes place. So it's like a perspective shift that we're invited into. And it happens through us. It happens through, remember back in verse 6 of this chapter, verse 6 says, seek Yahweh while he can be found. Call him while he's being near. This stuff results from, what we see here results from us seeking Yahweh, from listening to the voice, from obeying the voice. That's what brings about the life of new creation. And also notice, at the end, the last two lines of our verses today describe the purpose of this. What is the purpose of this journey of transformation? It is for Yahweh's name. It is for a timeless sign that will not be cut off. When the Bible talks about a name, sometimes it's not even translated as name. Sometimes it's translated, some of your translations may say memorial. Sometimes it says renown. Sometimes it says reputation. That's because the Hebrew word for name encapsulates all these things. Someone's name, to do something for the name of someone, is not just to let you know how to summon them, how to call them, what to say when they're near. It's actually to say, what is this person like though? When you're doing something for someone's name, you're revealing their character, you're revealing their nature, you're revealing what they are like, and you're increasing their reputation. That is to do something for the name of someone. So all of this is revealing what God is like. What is his character like? What is his nature like? This is similar to what Paul says as well. When Paul says, and everything, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. To do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus means that whatever we do, we are doing it in such a way that we represent God well. We represent God's character, his nature, what he's like. And so this is where I kind of want to land with this, is considering the fact that, because this is all really big picture, what I've been talking about, all of creation being transformed and this whole journey of transformation being about more than just us. But what does this look like for us, and what are we invited to as a result of this? I think one thing is a perspective shift. I think one thing is realizing that God wants us to be a part of something far bigger than just ourselves. But on a day-to-day level, I think something like what Paul is saying here, to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, thinking about how are we speaking, how are we acting, how are we doing these things in such a way that we are transforming life through Jesus. So, with all of that in mind, I'd like to invite you to have a conversation with God as we kind of come to an end. And I'd like you to ask God, what does it look like for me to partner with your work of transformation this week? What is God inviting you to do in word or in deed to partner with his work of transformation that results in life this week? I think this is a practical way to kind of land. So I'll give you a couple of minutes just to think about that question. Jesus, I thank you that you care deeply about the things that you've created, that you care deeply about us, you care deeply about our world, you care deeply about creation. I just pray that, and I thank you as well that the way that you bring about transformation is not through forcing it upon us, but it's through inviting us on the journey. I thank you that you invite us to partner with you in this journey of transformation. I pray that you would help us to see the ways in which we can partner with you. I pray that you would help us to see what does it look like in word and in deed to do these things. And I pray that we would do it in your strength, in your ability, and not in our own ability. I pray that you would work through us to do what we cannot do in our own strength, in our own ability. Amen.